Okay, Rabotai, good afternoon. Just to continue from last night. Last night we started speaking about some of the sodot of Hilchot Ne'emanut. Now, Ne'emanut, trustworthiness, believability, however you want to refer to it, is a very, very big yesod in anything and everything in Judaism, because as a result of Ne'emanut, there's many things like we saw in Tosfot and Gittin yesterday, that a person, you have to rely on other people for something, eventually. Unless you're shechting and salting and tithing and doing everything yourself, you must come onto some sort of ne'emanut for people. Now, we spoke about different levels and concepts within ne'emanut yesterday, if you remember. We spoke about ed echad ne'eman bisurim, which is the concept. Now, very interesting. What was the makor that Rashi said? By the way, I very much miss Rashi. I don't know if you do the daf, like me. We've been down 2 masachtot already without Rashi, and it's brutal. The Darim and Nazir doesn't have. Rashi will make a comeback, Bezat Hashem. On Yom Shishi B'Shabbat Kodesh, Tet Benisan. Huh? There's Ran on Nedarim, there's Tosfot on Nazir, but they're wonderful. But Rashi's Rashi. So he's coming back on Tet Benisan, Bezat Hashem, for Sota.
Make your life easier.
Yeah. The only question is who wrote the Tosfot on Sota. That's a different question. What was the reason Rashi explained yesterday? What was the makor for Edechad Ne'eman Bisurin? You remember?
Gemara in Gittin?
Yeah, the Gemara in Gittin. What was the makor in the Torah? That's it. Rashi says there's no makor. Elama, svarahu. It's a svarah that the Torah must have allowed Edechad Ne'eman Bisurin, because ma'asim b'chol yom. You believe people for shchita and nikur and melicha and trumot of asrot and all these things. And we never find that the Torah, when the Torah gives these mitzvot, says, okay, so you have to do it yourself. Okay, no such thing. The Torah said shechita has to get done. Terumot ma'asrot have to get done. Nikur and melicha and all of the other things, these things have to get done. The Torah never says you have to do it yourself. Apparently, the Torah allows for believing somebody else who did it. So, now, next, Shiv. Now, that so, if that's the case, why is it, I understand when a person has ne'emanut, if he knows how to do it himself. Then Tosfot asked, if you remember, just to quickly recap from yesterday, how is it that we believe a person that may not necessarily know how to do it himself? For instance, Isha. Tosfot asked, what about Isha? Isha, most nashim don't know shechita. They don't, many of them in it at least know maybe Terumot Ma'asrot. But how do you believe Isha for shechita, for nikur, for melicha, for all these things? Tosfot gave two answers. Number one, what was it?
Biada.
Biada to do what? Also. That was second. Not first one was biada lilmod, right? It's in her hands to learn shechita, to learn these things. No isur, she can learn if she wants. Yeah. Who was the first woman in the Torah that we learned did mila?
Tzipora.
Yeah, it says mifurash. Tzipora, vatikach tzipora tzor, vatichrot et onad bina. She did mila. She saved both her son and her husband, because if she didn't do the milah, the next one would be, first would be Moshe Rabbeinu, and next would be the kid. Yeah, Gerishom. So now, that being, one answer is, it's biada to learn Ilchot Shechita, and number two, it's biada to hire somebody to do Shechita on her behalf, and therefore that's considered enough of a biada to say that she's ne'emin it. Therefore, you don't have to question your mom or your wife, whoever it is. You can safely assume that it's kasher, because biyada is just an offshoot of edechad ne'eman bisurim. Now, this is all midoraita. Midrabbanan, there are situations, although, like the Navi tells us in Yeshaya, ve'amech kulam tzadikim, but there are certain things that can cause a person in halacha to lose ne'emanut. Anybody want to take a crack at it?
Shabbat?
Well, that's big. Those are huge. Huh? Those are huge.
And that inyan, if they have a chazaka of not doing.
He said good. Meaning, you went straight for the jugular. Shabbat, avodah zarah, that's nachon, you're blowing them out of the water. I'm talking about simpler things, not chas v'shalom mutar, but lower down in the totem pole. What you said, mesachek bekubiyah and things like that, those are things that make a person lose ne'emanut for edut. Make him pasul le'edut. Edut and isur ve'eter are two completely different parashiyot. We're not going to, maybe we'll, it comes up also. סימן למד ב', למד ג', למד ד', תנחוש במשפט, דיני עדות. What does a person need to be? What are the credentials for being קשה לעדות, for being מוסר עדות, for things like that? It's a different story. I'm talking, מה זה?
מומר.
Huh?
מומר.
I'm talking about now. Yeah, that's all that's משחק בקובייה. That's in the thing of עדות. Now, if you want to tell me that anybody who gambles or anybody who does really any isurim becomes pasul in terms of ed echad ne'eman b'isurin, there's very, very, not to say chas v'shalom everyone gambles, but whatever, everyone's got isurim. Therefore, that would seem to blow all of Am Yisrael out of the water, and therefore, like we say in America, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. You have to do shechita yourself and melicha yourself and akol. You can't rely on anybody. What are the credentials for being kasher in terms of ed echad ne'eman b'isurim? Let's see. Shulchan Aruch, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch totally dedicated to this thing. Kuf Yutet. Yeah, Kuf Yutet, it's a pretty long siman, very similar to Perek Kuf Yutet in Tehilim, which is the
Alphabeta,
the longest Perek in Tehilim. How many psukim? 176. 8 times 22 is 176. Also, like the longest Masechet in Shas, which is 176 dapim, no, Baba Batra. Longest prakim in Shas is Shabbat. Longest masechet is Baba Batra, 176. Longest parasha in the Torah?
Naso.
Femeod, 176 psukim. Zeyadatim. Now, it says like this. Maran writes as follows, Kuf Yutet in Yoredea. Hechashud ledavar isur. En nismoch alav bedvarim aneichanim. The title of the siman is, if a person is suspected of dvarim asurim, you cannot rely on him with regards to dvarim ha-ne'achalim, things that are eaten. Now, this is actually broken down into several seifim. Then it kind of branches out into other things. Let's start with this, and then we have to translate it to modern-day, non-religious, slash, traditional, slash, you know, whatever other denominations there are, under being fully Torah, Shomer Torah Mitzvot, in terms of where do these people fall in terms of these halachot. I want you to listen carefully and tell me what you think, because there's going to be some curveballs. We got into this because the question at hand was, not every situation in life is optimal. People have, and this is inevitable, everybody has some sort of family or friend or acquaintance that is not Shomer Torah Mitzvot up to par. Now let's get something straight. We're all not Shomer Torah Mitzvot up to par at some point. Okay, let's be perfectly honest with ourselves. But what? At the end of the day, we identify as being Shomer Torah Mitzvot. Nachon? At least we try. There's plenty of people who don't identify as being Shomer Torah Mitzvot. And yet, they may identify as keeping kosher. And they may or may not invite you over during the week on Shabbat, whatever it is, for a meal, and you may or may not have to try to wing it by eating with them. So where do they fall if a person's not Shomer Torah Mitzvot, or what is it that they have to keep versus not have to keep? I mean, not have to keep, but that they do, that kind of makes them lose all ne'emanut. That's what Maran's going to talk about. Aleph. Hechashud le'echol dvarim ha'asurim. Benim hu chashud be'isur Torah. Benim hu chashud be'isur Rabbanan. En lismoch alav bahim. Which means, first things first, if a person is suspect, now, suspect means, it's not just stam, rumors, people, you know, there's reason to believe that he's not careful b'dine kashrut, whether the dine kashrut, we're talking about dine Torah, which is nevelot, utrefot, basar b'chala, v'chule, or if we're talking about things that are midrabbanan, basar shenitalim na'ayin, bishul akum, whatever it is, if he's chashud on that, he becomes pasul, he loses ne'emanut for that thing. He says, "V'im nitareach imo, if you find yourself being hosted by such a person, lo yochal midvarim shehu chashud alehim. You're not allowed to eat from those things that he's chashud." Now, that doesn't mean, there are exceptions to this, but this doesn't mean necessarily that he's, let's say, he's chashud for, I don't know, whatever isur. It doesn't matter. Some random isur. Yeah? He's not, doesn't put on tefillin. That's not nisur, it's a lack of a mitzvah. But, give me nisur.
Steals.
Yafe. He's a ganan, yadua. But he's shomer kashrut. He's known to keep kashrut. The fact that he's ganav doesn't puzzle him, doesn't make him lose his ne'emanut from being, from serving you dvarim kshirim. Maran is talking about specifically what? That he's chashud on this thing. But Rabotai, everybody understands the word chashud? Chashud. Yeah. Chashud. Chashud bilaz. Anyway, bikitzur. Mikol makom. Chashud in milashon chashad. If a person is chashud on not being careful with these ma'achalot, so what happens is he loses ne'emanut. If it's deoraita, if it's derabanan, doesn't matter. You can't feed him. If he is back to the ganav, but he's, you know, there's many people like that. Many people who do big isurim, but they still keep kasher. He does not necessarily lose his ne'emanut. So first case is losing ne'emanut. You can't be believed for something that you don't keep yourself. That's called being what? Hypocrite. Halakha doesn't believe in a hypocrite. You can't tell me that something's kasher, even though it might be kasher, but you're a hypocrite because you don't keep this, so I can't trust you. That's number one. Now he says, it comes from Mishnah in Masechet Ma'asrot. That's a different. If a person doesn't take off Turmot Ma'asrot and tells you, yeah, this says Turmot Ma'asrot taken off, he's not believed.
But if someone's like ultimately honest, like, come on, you're not going to believe them?
What's honest?
Someone is Emmet.
How do you know?
He says, I'll say when I do something wrong, I'll do something right. They're honest in everything.
Honesty is really objective, and it's something that has to be determined by the Torah. The Torah considers the person, he could be honest and he could be telling the truth. That's fine. You could, not you, that person could never lie, but the Torah tells me what? I can't believe him under these circumstances. Could be he's telling the truth. Could
but
be it's kasher.
Like a knas, maybe. Huh?
It's not a knas. I personally can't believe him because ne'emanut in halacha, like we said yesterday, is a zechut. It's a merit, it's a privilege. You have to earn it by acting a certain way. If you don't act that way, we have to take it away. Let's say you have an honest goy. Very honest, super honest. This is kasher, ala ayni, ala rasi. Yeah? He says, you know what I mean? Anybody who speak Arabic? This means bless you. Anyway, bikitsu. But, yeah. But anyway, bikitsur, if it's a very honest guy, I can't trust him. I can't believe him. If I can only believe you. Now again, why is believability, why is ne'emanut so important? Don't forget. Because really, this thing, I don't know what it is. You shouldn't be, if something is safek to you, are you allowed to eat it? No. Elama, this guy's coming to tell you what it is. Which means you need his edut, ed echad ne'eman bisurin. If he's not kasher le'aid, you can't believe him. Even though it's not an eidut in the formal sense of two edim, but it's still an eidut that you need ed echad. So how can you eat it if this person is not believed? He's an ed pasul. What are you going to tell me? It's biado. What's biado? Lachzor b'tshuva. He could be chozer b'tshuva, and therefore he goes back to... It doesn't work like that. Biado is when he's already on the pedestal of ne'eman, so we say these things of biado. But if he's not there, we don't say biado to give you credibility. Understand? Now.
Maybe he had a tshuva. We know by Kiddushin that if he says...
Now you answer
that. If he says almanat, that he's a tzaddik, we say that maybe he had hirotshuva in that moment, and he would be... So maybe if he's telling you that it's kosher, maybe...
Baba, there's a gemara in Kiddushin, daf nuntei tamud bet. Ha'omer li, sh'harei at mekudeshet li, almanat sh'ani tzaddik gamur. Harei zo mekudeshet, says Rashi. Misafek. The gemara says, sh'me yireh teshuva b'libo. Which means... Since he could have at that moment been me'arer b'tshuva, we require her to, if she wants to leave, she has to get misafik. If they want to continue living together, guess what? He's going to have to give her another kiddushin without a tanai, and then do it all over again because it's only ala safik. Over here, this safik just compounds my safik of whether or not this thing is mutar. You understand? It doesn't make it any better for me, it just makes it worse.
Well, there it's not trying to change the status. I mean, in Gedushin, you're trying to change the status. I think that'd be more Hummer. Here it's more Mekel. Here it's a Safik. He's just being Megala what it is.
You're also trying to change the status. You're trying to make it Mutar.
Here it's a Safik. We don't know what it is. It's not inherently Asur Mutar. We don't know. It's less severe in this case, no? He's trying to change it.
You're not changing it from Asur to Mutar, but you're changing it from Safik to Mutar, which is also a change in status. The Torah says you need a dut for that. Edechad Neman Bisurin. So there's also some sort of change over there that requires the intervention of a ne'eman. Verstehst? Now, the Rama continues and says, I understand your svar, aval le'alacha, too much of a stretch, because if ever, you know, you're right, give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe it was chozer b'tshuva, ulai, but you got to prove it. Haga, v'yesh omrim, afilu mimi she'eno chashud, rak she'en makirin oto shu muhzak bekashrut, asur liknon menu yayin o shalat varim she'esh lachush le'isur. Mi'um nitarech etzlo ochel aimo. The Rama brings down the Bet Yosef. This Rama is not arguing on Maran. He's actually adding on to. The Bet Yosef says, B'shem the Rambam, that the Rama brings la'alacha. Even if a person is not chashud, there's a level under chashud. You know what it is? Eno muchzak bekashrut. Which means what? He's just question mark. Unknown. No idea what the guy is. There's a person who's muchzak bekashrut, which means you see him conduct himself as a Yehudi shomer Torah mitzvot. He davens, he learns, he eats kasher. So that person already has the stamp on him of muchzak bekashrut. Then you have under him, you have unknown. And under that, what do you have? Chashud. You have the person who's suspected. He says, when a person's, even if he's above chashud, he's just question mark, he's just unknown, over there you can't buy things from him that require, that have a chashash isur. For instance, what? Wine, meat, fish, things that may have isurim about them, you cannot buy them from him, even if he's not chashud, even if he's just not muhzak bekashrut. Hence what? This is where hashgachot evolved. The Aruch HaShulchan on this halacha in... Rabotai, remember Aruch HaShulchan? Mize? Yafe. A Gaon Rav Yechiel Michal Halevi Epstein. Aya Gaon Gadol. He was the Av Beit Din of Nvardok, one of the biggest, most heavily populated cities in Lita at the time. Interestingly, his grandson, his maternal grandson, Harav Meir Bar Ilan. Name ring a bell to anybody? Bar Ilan. Berlin turned into Bar Ilan. So, yeah, because he, the Aruch HaShulchan Bezivug Sheni, married the Netziv's daughter, and he had Rav Meir Berlin, was one of his sons. Another one was Rav Baruch, there's a few, but, sorry, Afuch. Rav Meir Berlin was the, one second, I messed up the thing here. Shnia. How could it be his son if it's Berlin? The Netziv Bezivug Sheni married the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter, head of Meir Bar Ilan. So the Aruch HaShulchan was his maternal grandfather, not his father. Yeah, yefe. So he writes in his memoir, he wrote a biography about his grandfather.
He's Sephardi?
Epstein.
No, Sephardi.
Berlin? Sephardi. Yeah, that's not... Wait, hold on. You heard what I'm about to tell you. The Rav Meir Berlin, in his memoir about his father, about his grandfather, the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes that his grandfather told him that Epstein's, with an ayin, which he was, came from, Epstein come from Benbenisti. Benbenisti was one of the most prominent families of Gerush Sfarad from the Spanish Inquisition. Benbenisti was a very, very famous Turkish name later. Now we know that most Turkish Jews, they came from where? What language do Turkish Jews speak? No.
Ladino. Spanish?
Ladino. What's Ladino? Ladino is like the Spanish version of Yiddish. You know that. It's like the Jewish twist on Spanish, just like the Yiddish is the Jewish twist on German. Same idea. So he writes that his grandfather told him that they come from Benbenistis, which means that the Aruch HaShulchan was actually... Now, anyway. Without that, big stuff. V'chil Michal Halevi Epstein. Michelin. No. It's very cool. Yeah. I saw it one time, I was like blown away. He came to the center of Meir Meir Berlin. He changed his name to Bar Ilan. He became very into all sorts of Chakira and stuff like that. Anyway, Bekitzer, so he writes over here, since the Bet Yosef writes, and the Rama brings it down La Halacha, that you're not allowed to buy anything that might have a safek isur, like wine or meat or whatever, from a person who, even if he's not chashud, as long as he's not muhzak bekashrut, that's where the idea of hashgacha came from. If every store owner, shop owner, or whatever it is, was shomer Torah mitzvot, technically, you wouldn't need hashgacha. Why? Because since he's shomer Torah mitzvot, let me ask you, if a person is muhzak bekashrut, is he only ne'eman to serve you for free, or is he even Ne'eman if he's selling to you? What's the difference? What should be the difference in halacha?
If he's getting money, maybe there's a reason why he would...
If he's selling to you, there's much more of a conflict of interests. Why?
Wants to make profit.
Wants to make money. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us in many places, all the Rishonim say, that if a person is muhzak bekashrut, eid echad is ne'eman bisurin, even when he's making money off of it. He's still ne'eman. Therefore what? In a perfect world, or maybe in years gone by, where everyone in the town, let's say, was frum and whatever, and you had the butcher, and you had the winemaker, and you had whatever, and they're all selling it to you, and they're all telling you, akol beseder, what's the halacha? It's all fine. It's all kasher. You don't need any more hashgacha. Hashgachot evolved into reality because that's not what happens today. Because not all store owners are anashim ne'emanim. Many of them are chashudim. And even if they're not chashud, like we saw right now, what does the Rambam say? That even if he's not chashud, even if he's just eno muhzak bekashrut, you can't buy from him. What about eno muhzak bekashrut that doesn't want to sell to you, he wants to serve you. He wants to invite you over. The Rambam says meforash, b'shem bet Yosef, that over there you're allowed to eat from him. You can't buy from him because the combination of eno muhzak bekashrut, which means that unknown, plus the conflict of interest of making money, takes away his ne'emanut. You can't buy. But to invite you over, how many things are wrong? I'm not paying. He's inviting me over. He wants me to eat in his house. I don't know anything about him. Says the Rambam over there, if he invites you, it's mutar to eat. You see where I'm going? Hashgachot today, the Aruch HaShulchan Khan says, today, hashgachot are mandatory for everybody, even for people in Murzak Bekashut. Why? There's one place in the world that I know right now, one prominent place in the world that I know, operates without hashgacha, a butcher store that operates without hashgacha. It's called Itlis Halali. It's in Shchunat Bukharim, it's in Yerushalayim. And his claim to, he's not under hashgacha. His claim to fame is that even when, you know, until they passed away, Agon Chaim Tzion Abba Shaul, Agon Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, his son, Agon Rabbi Moshe Tzadka, and many other Gedolei Yerushalayim continue to buy from this store. Why? Because back in Yerushalayim Shel Pa'am, he was around, he was muhzak bekashrut, I don't know if the father's still there, but you know, his sons, whatever, it's like a family business, and they continue to operate without hashgacha. Now again, don't try this at home. It's kind of, for lack of a better term, he was grandfathered in. You know what I mean by that? He was operational in a halachically valid manner, even before hashgachot were a thing in Yerushalayim. So therefore what? Can continue. But nowadays, were you to open up something, even if you are muhzak bekashrut, you're still subject, says the Aruch HaShulchan, to needing. Imagine the guy says, I don't need hashgacha. Look at me. I'm shomer Torah mitzvot. Yeah? That's great. And really, midoraita, aved echad ne'eman b'yisurin. But once there's establishment of hashgachot, that means that everybody needs it for the greater good, whether you're the firmest or least firm guy, everybody needs hashgacha of some sort. That's the way it works today. And if you open up without it, that's a red flag and you can't buy from it. All the poskim agree. That's the way it works today. Even if you're, you know, the biggest, it's a big thing. I'll tell you in Lakewood, the Rabbanim and the Rashi Yeshiva poskim in Lakewood, they just came up with a big thing. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's become exceedingly popular in the past few months, years, whatever, to have homemade things. Whether it's cakes, dips, desserts. You know. Now, this didn't used to be a thing. Why? Because in general, these commercially made things were made in a store. And the store had hashgacha. The problem is that these things, people start having pop-ups, especially during COVID, not in stores, rather in their own homes. Now again, there's a very fine line. What's the dilemma over here with things, with making things to sell in your own house? Now everybody agrees that if you have a store or you have an establishment, you need hashgacha. What about the other way? What about if I'm making something at home? If I made something at home, I made challah, I made a dessert, I made something in my house, privately, and I bring it to you and I want to give it to you for Shabbat. Okay? Do I need hashgacha on it?
No.
Why would you need it if you're giving
it? You're not making any money.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all
kafna. And you're not muhzak the bad way. You're not muhzak.
Well, let's say even better. Let's say the person's muhzak bekashrut. Not only unknown, he's...
You don't need hashgacha.
You don't need hashgacha. If a person, yeah. Ayin erich, look. Ma'asim bechol yom. somebody brings you over something for Shabbat, you eat it. Somebody delivers you something for Mishloach Manot, you eat it. V'chen al zeh aderech. Question becomes, that's being done in my house. Okay. Now let's say I want to do the same thing, same ingredients, same house, same person. I just want to sell it. Now do I need Ashgacha? I understand if it's an establishment. Okay. There's a klal that all establishments, that's what all the poskim agreed, they need to have some sort of Ashgacha. But for a personal home, where's the chiluk? Where's the tzveidinim? You're telling me that if I'm doing it not to sell, you believe me. Now again, the fact that I'm taking money, like we said before, if a person's muhzak bekashrut, the fact that he sells something doesn't distort his ne'emanut, that all the poskim agree, even if he's selling. So why should it make a difference whether I'm giving to you for free or I'm selling to you? And beimet, for a while, these things have been operational and people have been selling things straight out of the house for, whatever. There was a crackdown recently in Lakewood. The Poskim in Lakewood made a kol kore, and they said that nobody's to buy homemade stuff anymore without Ashgaha. There's a new department now, in touch with many kashruyot, they have a new department now for home certifications, for certifications of in people's houses, which is not an easy thing to do, because it's hard to, they make them have their own separate oven, own separate, part of the house. Now again, it doesn't mean you need a Mashgiach Tmidi, because there's no way you're getting Mashgiach Tmidi or even Yotzev Nichnas into a person's house. To a certain extent, even if they get Ashgacha on the person in their house, they're going to have to be relying on the Baal or Baalat Abayit. But what? At least let it be under the auspices and protocols of a kashrut. Now, not to say that it's asur, but lemigdar milta, because they didn't want it to get out of hand, because once you allow things being made in homes to be sold, then it's a very fine line that opens up a Pandora's box for things in stores. Why you believe? I can tell you, if you believe me, if I'm the person, so believe me here, believe me in the store. And then, nitparada chavila, the whole thing falls apart. So that has actually been adopted, it was a Lakewood initiative, adopted by many kashruyot, which makes a lot of sense. Now again, not to tell you that I was in Florida this past week. There are people over there, they made a thing. There's another, I never had one in my life. I don't know, but it's, meat boards?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Zeh gadol meod. Yeah. That's next level. For Shabbos Nachmu, they were sending around, GoFundMe's to raise money for the miskenim who can't afford meat boards for Shabbos Nachmu. Zeh miskenim. Yeah. Anyway, Bekitzer. So this guy was selling meat boards over there, and it said on the Ashgacha, kashrus. Now you're expecting to see. Now, by the way, out of town kashrus looks very different than in-town kashrus. It's a totally different discussion. But what it said, kashrus, smicha on basar b'chala from Rabbi Ploni's kolo. That's what it said. That's what it said.
Does that work?
Huh?
Does that work?
It's the weirdest kashrus disclaimer I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? So it's, again, it's wonderful. First of all, he's kind of shooting himself in the foot. You only learned basar b'chalav? You know what I'm saying? You only know basar b'chalav. How does that help me for the salami? You know what I'm saying? Huh? No, that's number one. What about shchita, terefot, all these things? Lamad basar b'chalav. That's wonderful. But where's the rest? Ta'arovot, melicha, mashu. That's number one. Number two, that's not really ashgacha. But again, does that asur the thing? No. But it also, it's not, if you're looking for ashgacha, that's not it. This thing evolved because this concept of homemade zachen became more and more prevalent, and that's why they decided to step in. Bezat Hashem, next time we'll speak about other things that can make a person lose ne'emanut, and how it can be gamed back, and how you can retain ne'emanut in spite of other severe yisurim. Bezat Hashem, will continue. Tonight we have Musar, tomorrow night Bezat Hashem.
Okay.